Today's scripture reading is from two readings. The first reading is from 1 Corinthians 10:16, 17. The cup of blessings that we bless, it is not a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is not sharing in the body of Christ, because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The second reading is from Philippians 2, 2b5. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one's mind. Do nothing selfish, ambitious, or empty consent, but humility regards others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Today we continue our sermon series, Created for Connection. On the first and the second Sundays, we discussed how God created us in the relationship with God and with one another. And then last week, we emphasized that our faith journey is not a solo adventure, but God has given us this church family so that we can grow together in faith and also to do mission together. And today we wrap up our sermon series by focusing on our connection with the larger church. Let us begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your words, open our hearts and ears. With your Spirit, unite us in Christ as we seek to understand our connection with you and one another. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In our globalized world, we are more connected than ever before, thanks to the development of technology and also the internet. However, we often see the church divided along cultural, racial, and national lines. You probably heard the phrase that Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. This phrase highlights how our world and also our worship can be divided by race, language, culture, and politics. When we look around our town of Hillsdale, there are four churches: St. John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church, and in front of our church there is the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, and in front of the Pisgah Valley High School, Pisgah Bible Church, and here we are, here's still United Methodist Church. Even though we all believe in the same God, we worship separately because each church has its own tradition, theologies, and worship styles. I'm not saying that it's bad, because God created us unique and special. And God grants us the freedom to worship in ways that speak to us. We should celebrate the diversity that God has created. Unfortunately, due to our shortcomings throughout our church history and also our human history, we often seen people fighting over differences and disagreements rather than celebrating diversity. These disagreements have led to conflict, division, and even isolation. For example, the Great Schism of 1054 divided the Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodox churches, driven by a combination of religious and political disagreement. In 16th century, the Protestant Reformation led to even further division. And now, most recently, as Methodists, we have experienced division around the social justice issues. And we are still experiencing the pain from the division. On the first Sunday of this series, the sermon series, we learned that humans' isolation, disconnection from others is not good for our physical and also mental well-being. And our God knew our need from the very beginning. So God created animals, plants, and humans so that we can thrive together. That applies to our church as well. And last week, we talked about the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul beautifully articulates what it means to be a church with a metaphor of the human body. He says that Christ is the head of the church, and we are the many parts of the body. Each part is essential to function the body. In the same way, we are all connected in Christ to be the body of Christ and to fulfill God's mission together. The concept of body of Christ doesn't just apply to our church, but it applies to all churches and all Christians around the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, Paul reminds us the cup of blessing that we bless is not a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, it is not a sharing in the body of Christ, because there is one bread, and we who are many are one body, for we all take of one bread. This scripture makes it clear that when we share in communion, we are connected with Christ and with one another and with every believer around the world, because we share the same bread and the same cup that our Lord prepares for us. And today, as we celebrate the World Communion Sunday, we recognize that connection. And at the same time, we recognize our human shortfall. Does anyone know how the World Communion Sunday developed? So let me give you the history background. The World Communion Sunday was born out of a time when unity was desperately needed. It was 1933, during the Great Depression, right before the rise of World War II. The world was divided by ideologies, conflicts, inequalities. And the church's vision was to bring Christians come together despite the world's darkness so that they can shine Jesus' light to the world. So the church decided to celebrate World Communion Sunday on the first Sunday of October each year, when Christians of all backgrounds, denominations, and languages come together at the Lord's table to remember that we are one in Christ, and we have same purpose and same mission to bring God's light and love to the world. And this is the day that we celebrate our unity in diversity and reflect on what it means to be connected with a larger church. As I was preparing for World Communion Sunday, a story from my childhood kept coming to my mind. I still remember my first communion. That was when I was 13 years old. By the way, I grew up in a Presbyterian church, so that church allows only those who got baptized to receive the communion. So I had to wait to receive the communion until I got baptism. And then that was my first time to taste the real wine. Even though the wine was served in a little tiny cup, I think, yeah, we still have the same cup here. But the amount was enough to burn my mouth with fire. And then the pastor gave me wafers, and I thought it was too tiny and thin to represent the body of Christ. But anyway, I received it, and then I tasted it, and thinking to myself, oof, this is the worst wafer ever. But you know what? I don't think Jesus minded one bit. And after I came to America, I attended a school named Duke Theological School. And then they have a worship service every day. And during the worship service, we also celebrated communion. And at school, I saw that they prepare a loaf of bread, which is the size is this big, to represent the body of Christ. And I thought, wow, it's so cool. And then those serving the communion, they took one piece of the bread and then gave to each student and say, this is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. And then I received so many good impressions by the communion, the demonstration, and the size of bread. I thought it was wonderful. But you know what? I don't think Jesus minded one bit. And one time, as part of an assignment of a seminary class, I visited an Eastern Orthodox church. Let me tell you, their worship service is totally different from ours. And it was quite interesting for me to observe their mass and their communion. There I saw that the priest dips the spoon, they use a spoon, like a holy spoon, into the chalice of the wine and bread. And then a priest place it into the mouth of each person in the line, and then he repeats it to the entire congregation. And that scene gave me culture shock. Oh my God, they use the same spoon to everybody. But I don't think Jesus minded one bit. However, throughout church history, there have been times when Christians fought over what kind of bread should be used for communion, or whether grape juice, water, even milk could be served as the elements of communion. And still, many churches around the world have different ideas about who can receive the communion or what kind of elements should be used for communion. But in whatever ways it's done, I don't think Jesus minds. I don't think God is offended by the elements of that we use for communion. Whether it is grape juice or water, unleavened bread, or a loaf of bread, or wafers. God's purpose for us here is to live as the body of Christ and experience his love through that communion so that we can be united together as one. God doesn't care what elements we use, but God wants us to be united through this action so that we are reminded as the body of Christ. Our scripture for today in Philippians chapter 2 calls us to a unity that goes far beyond our differences. Paul urges us to be united in Christ with the same mind, same love, and the same spirit. This unity is not about uniformity in worship styles or whatever we wear or even the language that we speak. It is about embodying the love of Christ and putting others first, humbling ourselves, and seeking the good of our neighbors. It is about aligning our hearts and our minds with the heart and the mind of Jesus, who broke himself for us so that we can be the body of Christ and we can grow together and bring Christ's light to this broken world. This unity is not only Paul's teaching, but also in the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." Church, Sunday morning may still be the most segregated time of the week, but World Communion Sunday reminded of the importance of our unity in Christ despite our differences. Not just for our benefit, but for the sake of Christ. The table of communion reminds us that we are one body and called to carry out God's mission together across cultures, nations, and languages. And every time we hear the news about what's happening around the world, we feel terrible. Our hearts is broken. The world needs us to come together, not just in prayer, but also in action. So church, let us continue to pray for our brothers and sisters who experience division and conflict. like Russia, Ukraine, North and South Korea, and the Middle East. And let us also pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from the recent natural disaster, especially those affected by the Hurricane Helene. Many of our brothers and sisters have lost their homes, their belongings, and their loved ones. To respond to their needs as a church, in the next 3 Sundays in October, a special offering will be collected to help those affected by Hurricane Helene. It doesn't matter how much you give, $1, $2, or $10, $100, or $1,000, thank you. So when we unite together with our generous heart, we can offer hope and make a difference. So I strongly encourage you to participate in the special offering. Just want to let you know the special offering don't replace your general offering to give our church. It's a special offering, okay? Yeah. So now we enter our time to receive communion. As you come to the table, please know that we are connected with one another, not only just us, but with all Christians across the world. We share the same faith, and we share our vision that our Lord has given us, and that we work together to bring His light to the world. So church, let us come and receive the Holy Communion. And when you come, we encourage you to take a moment at the kneeler and then pray to God and confess your sin, your shortcomings, and ask God to grant you grace so that you can continue to work in this unity as a child of God. Amen.